Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 6, starting in verse 14, through chapter 7, ending in verse 27. Sometimes in life, we are prone to ask God why. But as we grow in Christ and our walks with Him, we are able to trust Him by faith even without understanding why. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in chapter 6 of Leviticus.
And how it disturbs our lives. And it was one of those things where, like, the Lord took a 2x4 and just douche. Needless to say, I'm going and I'm teaching, and so pray for me. But how crazy it makes you. You guys are too kind to clap for that, but thank you for that anyways. And so I'm going, and it makes you crazy, but then when you just settle it, okay, God, you want me to do this, I'll do this. And then all of a sudden, there's a peace. We want the peace before we obey, though. We want the peace before we get out of the boat and step on the water. I want the peace that passes all understanding before I act in accordance to what God's called me to do. And God says, no. I've called you to do something. You just do it. There's no whys. There's not how comes, and you're wasting time. And you're making yourself sick in the meantime. Just obey. Just keep going. And I appreciate that about Moses. That there's no interruptions. There's no cutting the Lord off here in this instruction. You're just to do this. You're not to worry about the detail. Man, we are such detail worriers, aren't we? God says, forget about it. Just trust me. Here's continuation of the details in verse 21. In a pan it shall be made with oil, and when it is baken, you shall bring it in, and the bacon pieces of the meat offering shall thou offer for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. For every meat offering, verse 23, for the priest shall be wholly burnt, it shall not be eaten. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, in verse 25, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offers it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall they touch, the flesh thereof shall be holy. You notice how this word just keeps coming up tonight? Holy, holy, holy. It means to be set apart. And when there is sprinkled, middle of verse 27, the blood thereof upon any garment, you shall wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. Maintain your holiness, Moses. Maintain your holiness, Aaron. Maintain your holiness, priesthood. Once your garments that you're serving me in get dirty, you wash them. You don't be A-okay with the stains, the blood stains that drip on to your pure garments. You need to clean them before you continue in my service. And I think the church has lost this. We've thought that holiness, which means being separate, that's what God desires of us. That's what God commands of us. But we've become profane. Profane means scripturally common. The church has become profane to reach a profane world. We've become common to reach a common world. And we've lowered our standards. We've lowered our morality. We've even lowered the instruction and teaching of the Word of God for the sake of reaching the people where they're at. God has no patience for that. God has no place for that. God has no desire for that. He says, I don't want you to be a profane people. I don't want you to be settled with that stain that's on your shirt. I don't want you to think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. No one's really going to see it. It's going to blend in. I want you to be tedious about this. I want you to be, so to speak, OCD about this. I want you to go wash up and cleanse yourself. I want you to be holy. You're to be altogether separated from the things of this life. You're not supposed to be okay with just a little contamination. It displeases me. I have set you apart for my work, for my service. I do not want you to compromise in any way, in any regard. I want you to stay set apart, and I want you to maintain that cleanliness, spiritually speaking. I don't want you to become common so that you can reach a common world. I want you to raise the bar that the standard would be Jesus. And that's what would be shown. The church needs to quit acting like the world so that the world can see what the church is supposed to really look like, so that they can see Jesus. And that's here what he's saying here. God is making a point. If you get blood, of course they're going to get blood all over them. They're killing these animals for sacrifices. There's going to be blood, and God's saying, that's the point. You need to maintain what I'm asking of you so that you're acceptable in my sight. See, this is the thing. Yeah, the policies change. We don't do this anymore, but the principle doesn't. The heart of God doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't need to kill animals anymore. We don't have to worry about getting blood all over us. We get to come right before his presence because of Jesus, and we get these things. But the heart of God and the way he views sin and sinners has not changed. He's not any different. I've had folks come to me after refuel, and they'll say to me, oh, the God in the Old Testament, I don't like him as much as the God in the New Testament. And here's the thing, church, he's the same God. He's no different. This is the same God we read of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we need to keep that in mind as we move through this. I mean, I understand if you're here tonight, you're thinking, man, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. I'm so glad that these things don't, you know, completely apply to my life. I'm with you. I do too. And I'm so thankful I'm a New Testament saint. But I can't, and you can't, we don't have a free pass to completely dismiss the text here. Write it off like, oh, that's just for them. No, there's principle here for us today. He's an all-holy God, and he commands of us that we'd be a holy people. He doesn't ask it. He says, but the earthen vessel, verse 28, wherein it is boiled shall be broken. God always breaks the things that he uses. And as I've been meditating on a phrase the last couple of weeks for myself personally, I pray and hope that it ministers to you corporately, that he breaks me to remake me. Jesus breaks me to remake me. He has to. He has to break me and rid me of myself. In every instance that someone or something is used by God, it's broken first, so that it's fit and worthy of his use. He breaks me to remake me, just as he did here with this earthen vessel, just like us. And if it be boiled in a brazen pot, end of verse 28, it shall be both scourged and rinsed in water, and all the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. And no sin offering, verse 30, whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile withal in the holy place, shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. Chapter 7, as we kind of go through this overview, the continuation of it here, he says in verse 1, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, verse 2, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And in verse 5, the priest shall burn them upon the altar, for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male, verse 6, among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. As the sin offering, verse 7, is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that makes atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offers any man's burnt offering, verse 8, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. And all the meat offering, verse 9, that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan, and in the pan shall be the priest that offers it. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. And this, verse 11, is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. Now notice here, church, that this is not in the order that we received it in the opening chapters. Remember, the peace offering was the third offering, and then the fourth was the sin, and then the fifth was the trespass. Here, it's not that order. as he gives it to the priest, it's not that order. He did the sin, the trespass, and then the peace. And I would suggest to you that it's for a reason. It's because God is saying to us tonight, before we could have complete peace with him, before we could have a barbecue with him, before we could have a celebration of our salvation, we have to first deal with our sin and our trespasses. Before I can come into the presence of God and enjoy wonderful, intimate fellowship with him and laughter with him and just experience the joy of the Lord and his peace that comes from just walking with him, in order to have that, I have to deal with my sin in my life. You have to deal with your sin in your life. We have to deal with our sin in our lives. God is not going to compromise. God is not going to wink at you and say, oh, it's just cute. Look at you, you little, you're so cute when you sin like that. You know, he said, listen, I'm not going to lower my standard. You need to raise yours. And I'm the standard, not your lifestyle. I'm the standard. And I'm saying to you, if you want to experience all of me, the way that you're singing these songs of surrender, the way that you're amening the pastor's Bible study, if you really want this, you have to be constantly walking in the light, repenting of sin. I mean, for me tonight, up to the very last song that we did before I came up here to teach, I was repenting of sin. God, in my office, these are the thoughts that I was just having, Lord, and I did this today, I forgot. Forgive me, Lord. Because I'm seeing him for who he is, and I'm seeing myself for who I am, and there's that, woe is me, I am undone. And God's reminding me, man, to experience complete fellowship with me, to come to the barbecue and be able to celebrate and to be lighthearted, I have to deal with those things that disgust the Lord. So do you. He deals with the sin offering, the trespass offering, and then the peace offering here in chapter 7. And I believe it's for a reason. Remember, the peace offering here is done voluntarily. It's not mandatory. And he says in verse 12, if this person offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil, fine flour fried. Verse 13, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. Huh, that's interesting. With the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So we have both leaven and unleavened bread here before us in verses 12 and 13. And I believe because it speaks of us in two ways, both positionally and practically. Positionally, we are standing before God sinless in Christ Jesus. But practically, we are still entrenched in these bodies of sin, aren't we? We're still dealing with sin. So, yes, before God, we're seated in heavenly places and we're standing before him unleavened, without any sin. But practically, I'm still wrestling with the old man. As Spurgeon said, dead men don't wrestle. And so therefore, if I'm wrestling with sin, if you're wrestling with sin tonight, that means we're alive in Christ. If you weren't, if I weren't, that means that we are A-okay with living a life that is gross to Jesus. And so there's both the leavened and unleavened bread involved here, as again, it speaks of us both positionally and practically. And he goes on to say in verse 14, and of it shall he offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh, verse 15, of the sacrifice of his peace offerings, for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice, verse 16, this is going to get interesting here. If the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or voluntarily offered, it shall be eaten the same day. And he that offer it, middle of verse 16, this sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh, verse 17, of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Hey, I don't want any leftover. After 3 days, if it's not being used, I want you to burn this. It's of no use anymore. It's no good. It's spoiled. Remember, they don't have refrigerators back then or freezers to put their meat in. After 3 days, it's no good anymore. He's saying you got to get rid of it. You got to burn it completely. And I believe that this speaks to us here that we're never to be 3 days removed from intimacy with God, from bringing gifts and offerings to God. 3 days old is 3 days too long. God wants it fresh, man. God wants us to come before him on a daily basis, encountering him and experiencing him and engaging him and worshiping him. The time is not to lapse. We're not supposed to go. We weren't programmed to go from Sunday to Wednesday and then Wednesday to Sunday. God's saying it 3 days, 4 days. It's of no use anymore. It's too long. It's not any good. It needs to be daily. It needs to be fresh every morning. Again, to quote Spurgeon, he said, "Let us not see the face of man until we first have seen the face of God." That, Lord, I would see you first. And I don't mean to be a legalist here to anyone that's in the hearing of this message, but I only know what the Bible says. He says, those who seek me early will find me. There's not a promise for those who seek him late. I mean, I'm not saying you can't seek him late, and I'm not saying that you can't find him late, but you don't have a scripture to back it. The Word of God says that those who seek him early will find him. And there's something to be said of rising up 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes earlier than what you would have to get to work or to get your kids on the bus or whatever it would be that is part of your daily routine and getting with Jesus. Because he wants to minister to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you what you need for that day. Hey, this is the crazy part. He knows what your day is going to be like. He knows what you're going to encounter. I received a text message from somebody today that's God's restoring and drawing back unto himself. And this person is getting back into the Word. And it's not a new Christian, but this person is coming back to Jesus. And they're getting back in the Word. And they sent me a text of the portion of scriptures in Revelation that they read today. And it wasn't their first time. And they were blown away by these verses of the description of Jesus in the opening chapters. And I just can't believe these verses. It was like the first time this person had ever read them before. And that's how it is every day when you get with Jesus, with his Word. You open the written Word and you spend time with the living Word and he just manifests himself to you. He just reveals himself to you. And every time that you get in the Word of God and you spend that time with him, those words do come off the pages. And he begins to speak to you and direct you. His Word, right? It's supposed to direct us. Not horoscopes. Not shrinks, not different signs and things like this that the world has to offer, not palm readers, not psychics, but King Jesus. And we're to get with him. We're to settle the matters of the day with him. A spirit-filled, a person that's living the abundant life, they can hear from God through his Word, and they can speak to him through prayer, and it's a wonderful way to just encounter him. It's got to be fresh. God said, I'm not really interested in 3-day-old leftovers. Burn it. I want to see you every day. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of cool things in life. Like, I love to eat. Yesterday, we had a dear friend surprise us and send us food, fettuccine alfredo, chicken, shrimp, salad, vegetables, unbelievable dinner. And it does something to me. After I eat that meal, I feel like I don't even know what to, I feel like I can jump off a roof and fly. I'm just so, I don't know what to tell you. I have a food problem. I should probably go to a doctor. When food is good, I make noises. I can't stop saying, babe, this is amazing, you know. I love food. I love sports. I love my kids and my wife, and I love people. I love being with my friends and my family. I like to do things. I'm not one of these guys that just like, I don't like to do it. I like these things. There's a lot of great things in this life that I really love and enjoy. I love to be with you. But there's nothing I love more. Then when what happened this morning to me, happens to me where God speaks to me. And I know that he's speaking to me. If you want to know what cool is, that's cool. When God speaks to you, the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, when he speaks to you and you hear his voice and you encounter him and he's in your living room with you. That's cooler than any football game that's on in your living room with you when Jesus is there. That's cool. And that could be daily. God doesn't want his people to be all confused and discouraged and despondent and all out of it and all, I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and just acting like that. God said, this isn't necessary. Just get in my Word, and I'll speak to you. Don't let 3 days lapse. I'll tell you what, before we move on from this verse, I can't believe how messed up and depraved I am with how much time I spend in the Word. I can't imagine if I didn't spend this much time in the Word. I honestly really don't even watch TV unless it's SportsCenter. Well, I guess it's a TV then, so I lied. See how depraved I am? But I only really watch SportsCenter, games, and Fox News, honestly. Unless there's some, I don't even know shows used for an example. I don't watch TV. I just don't. I have cable. I have no problem with it. None whatsoever. I'm just telling you, I don't even do it, really. I don't listen to secular music. Just my own convictions. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just showing you right now. I'm making a fool out of myself right now. I'm telling you how much I try to live separate from this life, and yet still how messed up I am. I don't listen to secular music. I listen to strictly 99.7 and sometimes Caleb, but I want to throw up usually after a half hour, so I go back to 99.7. I'm just being honest. And I don't hang out with any unsaved people unless I'm witnessing or trying to be a discipler to them, if they've just gotten saved. And I'm still this wretched. I couldn't imagine if I took a 3-day sabbatical every week. You don't want that. And I certainly don't want that. And as much as you need me as the pastor of this church to be Spirit-filled and entrenched in the Word of God, I need you to be the very same. As much as you, for a lack of better terms, are dependent on any giftings that God has given to me to minister to you, I am equally dependent upon your prayers. I am equally dependent upon your spiritual growth to encourage me as I encourage you. We need each other as the body of Christ. So if anything, you won't do it for yourself, do it for us. Because Jesus is saying this 3-day off thing, 2-day off thing, every other day thing is not going to work. So don't do it. I don't even like it, he said. If any of the flesh, verse 18, of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all, on the third day it shall not be accepted. I'm not good with it. Neither shall it be imputed unto him that offers it.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.